welcome to Souls on Fire with your host, Joe Trainer. Joe is a husband and father of three, and for 29 years was an award-winning and very successful college football coach. Today, he is the director of athletics for Pope John Paul II High School. He is a leader, a man of character, and filled with the joy of the Lord. Joe was running for God's heart and became a soul on fire. Listen in every Monday as Joe interviews other sports figures and businessmen and women who bring their faith into the marketplace. And now, here's Joe Trainer.
Hello and welcome back to Souls on Fire on this beautiful Philadelphia Monday. I'm your host, Joe Trainer. Back by popular demand, we have Colonel Michael Manning, retired United States Colonel from the Army, and presently professor of leadership studies at Northeastern University. Mike, welcome back to the program.
Coach, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Always love our time together. I think you got the record for appearances on the show. I think we're up to like six or seven in the 3 years that I've been doing this. So you never fail to disappoint.
To get to heaven, man.
stay away from people like me if that's the case, brother. Listen, we're going to begin in prayer, and the focus this week is gratitude. That's going to be our topic tonight. Colonel Manning and I are going to delve into that, and his recent experience will tie really nicely into that. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But someone sent me this on Friday, and it's God's divine providence. It's amazing. You know, somebody sent me this. It was a gratitude prayer, and I was settling in on the topic for today's show. It's just amazing how God works that somebody would send me this prayer for gratitude. So instead of doing our normal opening prayer that we've done for the last 3 years, we're going to do this gratitude prayer. So let's begin in prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for your amazing power and work in our lives. Thank you for your goodness and your blessing over us. Thank you that your word teaches us the power of gratitude. Thank you that you're able to bring hope through even the toughest of times, strengthening us for your purposes. Thank you that you are always with us and will never leave us. Forgive us when we don't thank you enough for who you are, for all that you do, for all that you have given. Help us to set our eyes and our hearts on you afresh. Renew our spirit. Fill us with your peace and joy. We love you and we need you this day and every day. We give you praise and thanks, for you alone are worthy. In Jesus' name, amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. So the topic tonight, ladies and gentlemen, is gratitude. Other words, right? Thankfulness, gratefulness, that come to mind. And I've said, and you and I have talked about this before, Mike, I know when my prayer life is dry and or I'm trying to recommend, for people that may not have a ton of faith formation, or young people that may not be where they want to be in their prayer life, I always say, hey, start out with a gratitude journal and just identify, things that you are thankful for. And then it's amazing when we focus on all the goodness that's around us, how it opens us up to Christ,
Yeah, I do, Coach. And I love that. Thank you for reading that prayer. And, I think if I could pull your thread just quickly, I think focusing, yes, on all that you have, but gratitude, and you teed this up and maybe even said it, it's an orientation on something other than yourself, and as Catholic Christians, it's an orientation on someone, and that's God.
Amen. And the medium through which we see that is through other people. You know, what my son always tells me, my son Liam, you know, when we're looking for God, don't look up, look out, you know, and find Jesus in every person that we're meeting. I want to also come up and talk about, not at this point, but Mike, make sure I get to the receiving of other people's gratitude and that's impact on us. So, you are as other centered as anybody I know in my life. And the folk you're, and again, obviously that's a lot of that's probably, you know, your upbringing certainly. And then, and your military background, it was always, you know, the leader's needs are met last. The leader eats last. The leader serves, you know, servant leadership. But your focus really for your entire career has been, other-centeredness, not self-centeredness. But I know you're coming off an incredibly powerful transformational trip to Mexico with you and your better half, Natalia. Talk about that. You guys went down. You just came back a week and a half ago from Girlstown in Mexico, correct?
Yeah, yes, Coach. So we just got back on Friday.
Oh, actually. Okay.
So a little bit. We've been met back, just a handful of days here at this point. But yeah, so it was principally we spent about 2/3 of the time in Chalco, Mexico, at Girlstown, which was founded by a priest, a holy priest. He's a blessed by the name of Father Aloysius Schwartz. He's an American.
Okay.
And so he founded Girlstown and Boys Town initially in South Korea, then the Philippines. And then in 1990, he came to Mexico. So we were there. We worked with the Sisters of Mary. And then the last third of our trip, Joe, we actually went to Mexico City.
Mm.
We stayed at a convent with cloistered nuns. They're called the Conceptionistas. They have a special devotion to the Immaculate Conception. And we were able to go visit the Virgin of Guadalupe and the Tilma.
Oh, my gosh, man. How long was the trip?
Yeah, it was 8 days.
Oh, man. Talk about action-packed, man. That's amazing, man. Amazing.
Yeah.
So talk about the Girlstown, the concept, and kind of some of their stories and Mexico, you know, kind of being, you know, in dire straits, really kind of, almost when I think of Mexico now, Mike, I think like third world country.
Yeah. Yeah. And you wouldn't be wrong, you know, to think that. So, you know, and this really is, Joe, as you and I had chatted a little bit before, I think the recent trip really does nest beautifully with this topic of gratitude, because that was really one of the principal themes that we kept coming back to. And I think unless you're walking around with your eyes closed, your ears closed, you know, there's opportunities every day to be grateful.
Amen.
And certainly this opportunity, this trip absolutely gave it to us. So the Girlstown, there's 3,000 girls that, and these are young women. They're like 11 to 17, Joe, is the range. And they're girls that principally, they've been abandoned. Mm. They've been the subject of physical, mental, emotional, sexual abuse. In many cases, they've been rescued from human trafficking. And what these incredible nuns, the Sisters of Mary, and there's this incredible priest that's there. He's actually a diocesan priest, an American by the name of Father Dan, originally from the Diocese of Washington, D.C. And he's sitting at the helm there. But these nuns, there's 40 of them there. What they have created, Joe, is this environment where these girls have been able to heal.
Mm.
And not just heal, they've been able to regenerate and to grow. And everything is focused on Christ. And it's just, I know I've shared a couple images with you, a couple videos.
I mean, and the pictures were amazing. I mean, it was, it's something you see in like in a National Geographic magazine, or just,
yeah.
I think you guys are in a bus or in a, it's kind of like you're on, everybody's in tight quarters. And it was just such a, it was just such a warm picture, and just you could tell that you were feeding off of one another, you know, them off of you and Natalia, and you and Natalia off of them.
Yeah, no, it was just so beautiful. We were there with, you know, we were chaperoning. There was 13 young Americans from Boston that we went down with, both boys and girls. And what was just so rewarding was to see them get immersed in this, and the relationships. What they did very kind of strategically was that this mission, and there was this, it was very cathartic, but there was transformation that, like, there was a mental model shift, Joe, that took place, because a number of these teenagers, they had gone on a mission trip to, like, Peru or the Dominican Republic last year, and where they actually built something. And so the first day or so, they were looking kind of quizzically at the Padre saying, hey, what are we doing here? And so it was a mission, and you'll love this, it was a mission of presence.
Oh, no doubt.
Okay? And so that's what we did, Joe. We were present, and what we had to help, and this is what was so beautiful, was when Father Dan sat us down, he said, listen, this is a mission of presence, he said, but what I'm going to ask you to do here is you're going to be receiving more than you give.
Amen.
And I need you to surrender to that.
Amen. That's beautiful. Yeah. And no doubt that's how it unfolded, right?
Yeah, no, Joe, it did. So the way we did this was we would go out, and every day they would have an opportunity to, you know, they did a, you know, a lot of outdoor activity, a lot of sports. So we would participate in that. We actually, we were able to attend mass with them, adoration. We were able to participate. Natalia actually kind of co-led catechism class, you know, which was pretty remarkable.
Man, that's awesome.
And then we got to break bread with them. And what's really just so remarkable about the way these nuns have built this is that the subunit, so these 3,000 girls, they're task organized, Joe. They're not task organized into teams. They're not task organized into houses. They're task organized into families.
Mm.
And which was just so remarkable because these girls never experienced that. And one of the nuns that we got to know very well was actually a Filipino nun. And I said, okay, so sister, you know, you grew up in the Philippines. Your first assignment as a Sister of Mary was at a girls or boys town in the Philippines. Now you came here. I said, what's the difference? And she said, Mike, she said, the Philippines is impoverished like Mexico is. She said, but the difference is this. In the Philippines, we have the family unit. And she said, in Mexico, what I have experienced with the girls is that they don't even have the safety that a nuclear family, when it's working well, provides. So there's an additional layer of brokenness.
Mm. And I mean, you talk about the hierarchy of needs, right? If your safety's not being met, you know, nothing else is possible too, you know? I'm reminded, you know, I can see these well-intentioned young people, and it's like, okay, what do you know, here we are, you know, and we all do it. Like I look at all the times, you know, that I embark on like what I think is, you know, a noble gesture, and I get filled with hubris and all this pride, and I'm going to, you know, whether I'm time at a soup kitchen or you know, volunteering at the Special Olympics and, you know, all these chest bumping, look at me, you know, moments in my arrogance. And then, you know, you leave there, you feel two things. I feel small, literally and figuratively, because I'm embarrassed at my arrogance I've gotten better with this over time. But even now I catch myself sometimes, you know, feeling like I'm going to these
make it about us.
Yeah, make it about us. Thank you for succinctly saying that. But then you leave there, and there's two guys. I think we talked about this before, but there's this book. It's called The Wonder Drug. I read it last summer. Incredibly powerful. It's by these two guys that run Cooper's Health Systems, which is a huge conglomerate in South Jersey and Pennsylvania. And they did this longitudinal study, and they're like, hey, we're scientists, and we follow data and all that. And they started to study people that had, you know, had whose whose cholesterol was lowered and heart, you know, heart conditions were lowered, and you know, all these illnesses kind of didn't evaporate, but their numbers started to go up in a positive way, and after all this, you know, incredibly labor intensive studies, they piggybacked off of a lot of other existing studies, but they basically came to the conclusion as you want to improve your health physically and mentally, be other centered. You know, and it was nothing warm and fun. It was just, and they were two, you know, typical doctors, you know, and they were following the science. And I just, when I was reading this book, I was like amazed, you know, and that's God's divine providence, because it's like he wires us like that. You know, when we focus on ourselves, you know, we suffer from the disease of me, we tend to be miserable, and we tend to be flat, and we tend to be, you know, not fully alive. And when we can focus on other people, it's amazing how, you know, some of it is just gives us perspective, right? You know, it's like, holy mackerel, you know, you leave there and you're like, oh my gosh, you know, you have, you know, a beautiful daughter, you know, and you're like, oh my gosh, my daughter, like, you know, any trials and tribulations that she's endured or we've endured as a family, it pales in comparison to some of the trauma and drama and that these young people, these young females have endured. And, you know, you're overwhelmed with a sense of gratitude, you know, and I know I know you were amazing on that trip, as was Natalia and the rest of the volunteers, but I'm certain you got back, you know, as much as you gave.
Yeah, no, Joe, and that was beautiful. And I agree 100%, you know, and I, just to add, you know, I think and you know, age, and I kept telling them, they subdivided us, Joe, into these three groups, you know. So I had four young people in my group, and so on and so forth. There were three groups, three subunits, but I kept telling these young people that were with me, and I said, look, all I have on you is age and failure.
Sure.
But I said, I hear me out, right? And we did, we kind of came back to these ideas. I love this idea of being, you know, others focused. We've talked on your show before about that sixth base of power, right?
Yeah.
Which is empowerment. And it's about the leader giving away power. But I think what life teaches you is no matter how good you are, at some point you're going to fail, right?
Absolutely.
You're going to fail. You're going to fail yourself. You're going to fail others. You're not going to get it done. You're going to reach the limits of your resources, of your ability, all the above.
Yeah.
And so at that point, you know, in your darkest moments, darkest hours, and what I found is that, you know, first and foremost, you got to cling to that identity. I am a child of God, right? And then the second piece is I got to look outwardly, because if I'm suffering right now, but if I can put my focus, my orientation, my whole being into improving the lot of others around me, maybe those entrusted to my care, that's how you fight through this.
Amen. Amen. And I firmly, nothing gives us a reset on perspective than experiencing, you know, being other-centered. I feel like, you know, I don't know who said this, but I have this sign in my office. I cried because I had no shoes until I met a man who had no feet. You know what I mean? Like we think our problems, you know, we sometimes, and here's the other thing I think too, Mike, and there's a guy, Dr. Huberman out of Stanford, and he's another guy. There's nothing, he's a scientist. He's a neuroscientist out at Stanford. And I don't know if he's faith-based or not, but all of his podcasts, he talks about the science behind things. And He talks at length about the science behind a gratitude practice, even if it's as infrequently as once a week. And it was amazing. Again, I come back to God's divine providence. It's like, you know, this is him, and he's a scientist like the two guys who wrote Wonder Drug, right? It's scientifically proven that a gratitude practice, even as infrequently as once a week, It lowers stress. It lowers blood pressure. It allows you to sleep better. It improves resilience, which really kind of blew me away. It improves, meaning it impacts trauma that you've endured, okay? And then he has this amazing podcast where he talks about it inoculates you, or it protects you against future trauma, you know? Wow. And it's amazing that God wires us like this. You know, it reduces aggression. And he basically, at the end of this really extensive, you know, just a ton of, like, amazing information, he talked about, you know, a gratitude practice can be as potent as medicine prescribed by a doctor for anxiety and depression. And a gratitude practice can be as potent as exercise, which is the, you know, the thing that all doctors, even if you do receive medication, they say exercise is, you know, is a really big, big source of the remedy, big part of the solution too. But the fact that a gratitude practice can have that impact is pretty amazing.
Oh yeah. No. Joe, you know, a number of years ago, I was introduced to, it's called the happiness exercise.
Yeah.
It's right, same, truly kind of same thing.
Yep.
Different page. By Harvard, and we were introduced to it by a dear friend of ours who's a psychologist, but he had said, you know, do this. You write down the five things that you're most grateful for, right? And that bring you the greatest amount of joy. And just putting pen to paper and then repeating that is just, it changes your mental model.
Brother,
right?
It's so true. I remember this as like it was yesterday. We're in COVID, right? We're in Zoom, you know, five of us, you know, kind of, you know, you had this, you know, you had, you know, first week of COVID. Oh, this is kind of cool. It's like that snow day holiday, you know, it's like, yeah, let's do board games. Let's, you know, order takeout and, you know, and watch, you know, movies together. And then, you know, 2 weeks in, 3 weeks in, and then there we are, like 2 months in, and the walls are closing in, and, you know, the kids are on Zoom and they're not thriving. And, you know, my wife and I are trying to do Zoom, you know, work on Zoom, and then, you know, trying the chaos of the Irish Catholics, right? It's like, you know, loud talkers across the board and trying to, you know, elevated blood pressure and all that. So, and I'm like, I felt myself like I was at such a dark place. And a friend of mine said, hey, man, start a gratitude journal. And he said, he goes, I challenge you to just write three things down every day that you're grateful for, and be intentional about this, and see how long you can go before you circle back to the original 2 or 3 days. Like,
wow.
it was like the 75th or 76th day that I did that.
Wow.
And, but here's the other thing too, like, and you referenced it a little bit, like, it's, you know, and this Dr. Huberman at Stanford, it has to be incorporated into your life. Like, it's got to be a practice, right? No different than PT training in the military. Right. No deeper than, you know, marksman training. Like, it's like any other acquisition. Like, you know, you put your hand in, you know, it's not about, oh, I'm at a really bad spot. Oh, I'm going to think about three or four things that I'm grateful for, and I'm going to live happily ever after. It has to, for it to have the long-term effects that we want, it has to be incorporated into our daily life. And then you made a great point too. It's, you know, I know for me, so much of you know, I talked to you at length about, you know, contemplative prayer and kind of just being silent. But for 50 years, it was all about resuscitation for me. You know what I mean? It was you know, the novenas, the rosaries, the stations, the you know, and then just, it probably wasn't until about 50 when I read, you know, Falling Upward by Richard Rohr, that I kind of just said, okay, I'm going to just let stillness take over, and I'm going to let God talk to me rather than me talk to God, because you can't do both at the same time. But to your point, like, just having, like, you know, meditating on the things you just wrote down, you know, and just kind of letting that just absorb that into your heart, into your mind, and see where that takes you. It's really powerful.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And Coach, just to add, and I want to come back just very quickly and another link here with our trip, you know, so again, we had this wonderful young priest that led us, and he had spent time in Mexico, but what he built in, I mean, the days were exhausting, Joe, like physically,
sure.
You were up early, right, in the end of the day, but you were spent physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, but we did the last kind of major muscle movement of the day we did was adoration. And again, you know, it's focusing, you're receiving, right, the other, but you're with the true presence.
Mm.
And what was amazing to me, and this is something I want to share, is that I could not believe the way the young people in our group were responding to this. And it's something that's been incorporated. I don't know if it's the same in Philly. I suspect it probably is. But, you know, about twice a week in the Hingham Collaborative, they're offering adoration. And Joe, it's there's silent prayer, but there's also they're singing.
Mm.
And when there was, you know, a cappella at any given time over the course of an hour, you know, 5 to 10 young men and women singing with their arms out raised up. It was one of the more powerful images.
Was it during adoration, Mike?
Yeah, during adoration.
Yeah, you know what? I've only done that twice. And the first time, and again, because I'm such a, you know, weirdo creature of habit, I thought adoration, but it was incredible. I remember it like it was yesterday. I was at a men's workshop at Immaculata University, and I experienced the same thing. And I was just like, I felt like, you know, I was at the foot of the cross right there. I mean, it was really, it was amazing.
Yeah.
You know, I think I want to talk about this too. Like, here's the thing, you know, I think I've come a long way in this too. Like, I know we try and distinguish, you know, happiness from joy, and happiness is more of an emotion, but joy is more long-term. I get that. But I do believe the greatest way we can evangelize is to celebrate our happiness and our joy. And the greatest way to do that is through gratitude. Because if you're on fire for the Lord, you have your priorities, right? You have your, you know what's important. And again, I'm not talking out both sides of my mouth, because I'm very cognizant of what my peers are doing or what they're, all of us, right? The challenges we have with social media, even into adulthood, right?
Right.
you're a high achiever, you're a climber. You know, and not to say you covet your neighbor's goods, but you want success, and we all want that, and however we define it, right? We want that, but if we can have an attitude of gratitude and have a grateful heart, man, there's nothing that's gonna put us more on fire for the Lord. And what better way? I want people. I certainly don't do this enough, but I want people to walk by me or have a conversation with me. And after 20 minutes, like, man, I want what that dude has. I want what he has. And, it's just that's what we're called to do.
I agree. You know, and Joe, something that came to me as you were talking just very quickly is that, you know, with that gratitude and recognizing that those things, those people in our life that give us happiness, right, that give us joy, that we're grateful for, they didn't come from us. They came... Right, God put those people in our lives, right?
Amen.
Right, and what by recognizing that, Joe, you know what it does? It's an invitation to trust Him.
Amen.
It's an invitation to trust Him, right? And so I think there's this symbiotic relationship between gratitude and trust.
So true.
And you know, and I think that's what we can walk, that's what we can talk, that's what we can live.
I love that, folks. We'll be right back after these brief messages.
To you, our faithful family of listeners, no words can express how much we appreciate your standing in the gap with us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. It is truly your amazing prayer power, your undaunting commitment, that has enabled us to stay on the air. No doubt about it. Be assured of our daily prayers, not only for you, but for your families as well. We pray that God will continue to bless you as you bless us. To join us and become a ministry partner, visit our website at inhissign.com or give us a call at 610-527-2906.
Welcome back to Souls on Fire. I'm your host, Joe Trainer. Guest tonight, six-time performer, Colonel Michael Manning, professor of leadership studies at Northeastern University. Mike, what is this, your third year in
That's right, Coach. Yeah, it's my third academic year.
Okay. And you still manage to hold on to your conservative values, huh?
we're doing our best Okay. Every day.
Hey, every day's a fight. Every day's a fight. I'm kidding. I know that's there's no doubt about that. There's nobody in my life that I have more respect for. I know I tell you that often, but I mean that when I say that. You know, and as we were thinking about as we went to the break there, Mike, I was thinking, you know, not only is the call for surrender, right? But yeah. It's, you know, by acknowledging the gift, we're giving credit to the giver. You know, and when we give thanks to God, we're recognizing the infinite goodness of the giver. And I think that's why and here's the thing. You know, and again, I'm not getting all science, like Freudish, you know, Freudian, you know, all that. But I remember reading, you know, he talked about, hey, we're wired. It's easier for us to be unhappy. It's easier, right? If I were to ask you, hey, Mike, if I said, Mike, tell me about an experience that you had that you don't think you deserved, right? You know, we probably mentioned something negative, right? I was treated unfavorably. But, you know, and again, like, I don't deserve the hot water that I shower in the morning. I don't deserve three healthy children. I mean, but it's so easy for us to embrace the misery and the unhappiness. And I think God does that intentionally, because even though we're created in his likeness, I think he wires us like that, because it only by making us like that do we understand the concept of surrender. Which falls in line with gratitude, you know?
Yeah, Joe, I completely agree with that. I mean, that's beautiful. You know, and you made, as you were talking, I was reflecting back on, you know, Mexico. I mean, you go into, frankly, in Chalco, Girls Town, but in Mexico City in particular, Joe, you couldn't even brush your teeth with the water, right? You couldn't even, literally, and the nuns couldn't either. So everything is, all the water has to be purified. You can't drink anything out of the pipes, right? And so, I mean, that makes you know, if you're paying attention, you go, gosh, holy smokes, you know, I'm blessed, like you said, to have hot water. But even just, I turned on the faucet today and I grabbed myself a glass of water and I said, God, you know, a week ago I couldn't do this, you know?
Yeah.
And I think what that does for us when we have those experiences, and I loved how you said, you know, you give credit where credit is due, and that, you know, we didn't, you know, I, number one, I don't deserve this, and number two, I didn't create this. This was given to me.
No doubt.
And and I think it is about that recognition, Joe. I mean, I think that's part of, and I it's with the people in our lives as well. Hey, I am so grateful for you because of who you are and what you mean to me, but what you give me by virtue of who you are.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
And you living your identity, and that's celebrating the Creator as well.
Amen. And I know it doesn't necessarily tie into the Catholic faith, but I had someone on a few weeks back, and they talked about during the Roman times, when the generals came back from battle, they had a slave greet them at the gate, and it was perfunctory to whisper in their ear, "You're only a man." You know, because so easy for us to be filled with, "Hey, it's about me," whether the promotion or my kids having, you know, academic success, or, you know, we tend to make it about us, which is crazy. Have you ever heard of a Benedictine monk, Mike, by the name of David Stendhal Rest? He's got a great website. It's called gratefulness.org. And just gentle soul, really just a special human being. But, you know, he talks about, you know, gratitude and, you know, it's amazing how, and it's linked to happiness. And, you know, and I'm thinking of your girls in Girlstown, like, you know, some people that have just endured so much duress and adversity are some of the happiest creatures we can meet. And people with all these big shiny toys, you know, are just, you know, in a state of constant misery. And it's amazing. Yes. It's amazing. David Stendhal Rest says, it's not happiness that makes us grateful. It's gratitude and gratefulness that makes us happy, which I thought was pretty pertinent there.
Yeah. And you know, Joe, I think if I may jump in, for us to consider, right, is that, and the girls do serve as a great witness to this. You know, they've been stripped away of everything, to include their human dignity.
No doubt.
Right? And so, their identity, everything has been taken from them except one, right? And the one which no one can take from you, which is, and this is something we talked to the boys about, right? And when we had a chastity talk with the boys and the girls respectively, and myself and the male chaperone and the padre, we took the boys. But we talked about, you know, Manning's kind of meager contribution to this is that, look, you know, you got these three identities, okay? And I think this will resonate with you, but I'm not asking you to necessarily agree with me all the way, Joe. But three identities, right? I'm a son of God. I am a husband. I am a father. And then my vocation, whatever that may be. But it's got to be in that order, right? Because in life, the work, that's temporal, okay? And it may give you joy, and I'm grateful for the fact that, Joe, my job at Northeastern, which I do love, it's a great vocation. It allows me to feed my family and to give back. But that can go away.
Amen.
They can take that from me, Joe, right? They can take that from me. You know, I retired from the military, okay? You know, your status as a, you know, as a spouse may change,
no
right?
Doubt.
You know, things happen in our lives, but what remains constant is our relationship, or that invitation to have a relationship with God.
Oh, dude, so powerful. And I keep coming back to it was a Protestant preacher that said it, but it resonates here. I never knew God was all I needed until God was all I had. You know, and it's
beautiful.
It's so true. And you know, it's just, you know, you and I talk a lot about, you know, worse for our children, right? With social media and, you know, comparison, the thief of happiness, right? And envy, you know, robs us of any happiness that we can attain. And, you know, and when we focus on the things we don't have, it's just, you can't be envious and grateful at the same time,
yeah.
You know, and yet, you know, here we are, you know, and I'm older than you, but you're like, I don't covet my, you know, my neighbors or my friends, maybe status or jobs or physical objects. But, you know, you want to be, you know, even now I feel like sometimes I feel myself comparing myself to maybe people that in that same cohort, you know, just in terms of whatever earthly success that I envision that I've achieved relative to some people in my life. But it really does. It's such a rabbit hole, you know, because you tend, and then the next thing you know, you're consumed with the things you don't have. And, you know, and even like challenges we have with kids, you know, I mean, I'll never forget, man. It took me to my knees, and I cried for a long period of time when I was having trouble with my daughter. And you know, and one of my friends called me out. I was like, hey, dude, that's not yours. Like, that's not your daughter. Like, that's God's. You're just the steward right here.
Yeah.
You know, and when he said that, I was like, wow, man, that was so, it just hit me right in the, it pierced my heart. And it challenged me to be a better steward, you know, for God. I, you and I, like, we're like, you know, I'm not trying to classify you in the same group, but like, we believe in like, you know, the positive energy, the quotes, all that stuff. And sometimes I'll put a quote on the family chat and I'll credit somebody. And then my son will maybe make sure it came from that source. Cause you know, you get on the internet, we don't ever verify this stuff. You know what I mean? We just think it's like, you know, it's, but I did do some fact finding with this, and it did on a couple different sources. This quote, was attributed to Albert Einstein, of all people. And he said, you can live your life two ways. The first way is that nothing is a miracle. And the second way is that everything is a miracle.
Mm.
And it is like, again, the magnitude of me waking up, you know, me having clean water to drink, me, all of it, right? We know air, right? We don't, you know, we don't deserve any of it. Like, you know, I mean, your point, thousands, the millions of people around the world that can't even have clean water to brush their teeth. Like, it's incredibly humbling.
Yeah. But yes, Joe, you're right. And, you know, again, looking at these girls or in some experiences that I've not had directly, but indirectly with missionaries that have gone to Africa, you know, where, again, the poorest of the poor, yet they're rich in spirit, and they're happier than we are.
Amen. It's amazing. No? That's God. That, you know what that is? That's not one of God's like subtle witnesses. Yeah. That's him like smacking you upside
like
your head.
Yeah.
You know, he's exactly
punch
right.
In the face.
Yes, absolutely. Yo, dude, are you kidding me? It's hilarious. Mike, talk about the, you know, the approach with chastity with the young people that you were meeting with. Like, I'm rarely at a loss for words, but like, I've done I think maybe one or two of those types of talks, but it's kind of nothing. I always feel like when I've had those opportunities, I've underwhelmed, you know, in terms of delivering a message.
Yeah. So, Coach, what we did, and you know, again, Father Matt Norwood did a beautiful job kind of teeing this up, and I was there with. It was really very special. The other male chaperone was a kid, he's my age, Joe. Roughly just about 50 years old, but a guy that I actually grew up with. We went to St. Paul's together. We went to BCI together. He went to BC and then he went into the Air Force. And his son was there with us. And as was his daughter. And he had lost his wife, Joe, about a year and a half ago to cancer. And it was amazing. So anyways, to get back to your question, but just to share this with you. So Father Matt teased this up, and then Ross, my buddy, and I are there. But Joe, you know, it was – and Father had kind of socialized this with us a couple days in advance. Hey, we're going to do this. So I had prepared for it kind of, you know, emotionally. I'd, you know, prayed on it a little bit, talked to Natalia. And Joe, I was very open with them about my own lived experience and about how, like, and what really – struck me with these young men and women, and through their own testimonies, when everyone had over the course of the week that had an opportunity to provide witness. But they're, Joe, like in many respects, I'll speak personally here, they're better than I was and maybe better
certainly
than
me.
I am in a lot of ways, in that, you know, there's this alignment between like, hey, okay, this is the intent, right? Words and feet, right? And, you know, they're living it, Joe. And, you know, it's one thing to say, hey, the intent's there to be chased. And then it's another thing altogether. So there was, you know, it wasn't like we weren't browbeating anybody, but there was a recognition that, and talking through our own lived experiences and being able to say, hey, listen, you know, moments where I've been in, you know, deep sin and not living my Catholic Christian values openly, I hurt myself. And oh, by the way, then coming back to St. John Paul II, who said, the opposite of love is use.
Mm.
And you know, when you're outside of that marital bond, right, you are, and if you're not chaste, you're causing, you're sinning, you're causing another to sin, you're hurting yourself and you're hurting them. And that has absolutely been my experience. And so, Joe, I laid it out just like that.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And I'm sure it was well-received, too, on both sides,
think,
of boys
I think
and
it was, because, you know, Joe, I think these young men and women, they deserve the truth. And, you know, you got to be, of course, you have to be gracious and you have to be, you know, delicate with the delivery. But, you know, they deserve, they're old enough to know. Because guess what? Here's the deal. Sure, abhors a vacuum. And you made reference to social media a few minutes ago. They're hearing from the world and the evil one from the time they're like 10, right?
Amen.
On that handheld device. So we better have that kind of counterpunch or that counter narrative.
Yeah, blow by blow. We better be throwing the same blow they're throwing.
Yeah.
You know, and I think too, like, and like the rabbit hole of like, you know, you know, with the concept, you know, Christ, you know, the concept of sexuality altogether, right? It was just, you know, you've diminished it to such a point where, and then, and because of the lack of like intimacy, the lack of emotional connection, the lack of, you know, the ultimate relationship in marriage, it's literally like it's leaves you feeling hollow and empty,
yeah.
You know? Mike, I want to make sure we get to some of this. One of the greatest, and again, I look back, Mike, at my first 50 years, and I'm like, oh my gosh, man, like, there's so many things about my faith, and I say this with all humility. Like, I look back at, like, man, I can't believe I missed the boat. I don't, and I'm not justifying why I missed it, but I'm like, man, why didn't somebody just hit me over the head with this more? But, you know,
yeah.
Christ came, I think, summing it up this way, he came and told us what to do to gain eternal life. Okay, how to act, how to treat one another. But that's all well and good. But man, he did a hell of a lot more than that. He showed us how to do it by the way he acted. You know what I mean? Like it always, I said this to you before, it always bothered me, like, the agony of the garden. I was like, man, he's God. How can he be suffering? How can he be fearful? He can't be that. He's God. But he was, what he was doing, he was modeling how we needed to behave in the darkness, in our own agony of the garden, right? And everything he did, he not only, you know, he showed us how to do it. He gave us the manual by his lived experiences. And the reason I'm bringing that up is because when I started to think about, you know, gratitude, gratefulness, thankfulness, right, I'm reminded of the three, for me, the three, and I'm sure there's more than that, but the three most, for me, visible opportunities where Jesus was giving thanks to God. It was, you know, when he performed the miracle, the loaves and fishes. You know, he took the bread and gave thanks to God, right? At the Last Supper, obviously, he took the bread and gave thanks. And then, this just hit me again yesterday, even though I had, again, God's divine intervention, I did not know that that the road to Emmaus was going to be yesterday's gospel. And, but you know, I was reading that a couple weeks ago, the Road to Emmaus Gospel, and you know, it was when he, you know, the unrecognizable nature of the walk, right? His two disciples didn't recognize him, and they were kind of critical, like, "Where the heck have you been, dude? Like, have you not been following what's happening here?" But when he finally broke the bread and gave thanks, that's when they recognized him. You know, so I mean, again, if it's good enough for the Son of Man, my gosh, it's certainly good enough for us. You know, like to give God, you know, his just due and his thanks, because, again, like you said, none of us deserve any of it.
Yeah. You know? That's so beautiful. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Joe, I think it starts with, you know, deliberate awareness. I think it's about Joe, I mean, my experience, right? And I think probably yours and many of your listeners, it's, you know, when we're in a state of grace, your receptivity, right, your ability, like, to dial in is, it's just amplified and magnified to the nth degree.
Oh, it's like on steroids, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, right? You know, you're like you're on fire. And so you, like, those interactions with people, like, what I have found, right, when you're in a state of grace, you, even just normal, run-of-the-mill, everyday conversations can be magic.
So, you know? True.
And so, and I think there's just an opportunity, you know, when we're deliberate about, you know, looking for it and looking for God in the small and in the big things, and, you know, and then we encounter him, principally through other people, and then there's an opportunity, you know, to recognize that. And to say thank you.
So true. And you know what? As I'm thinking about it, the word gratitude itself, Latin in origin, gratia, means grace. Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's beautiful. Crazy. No coincidence there. You know, and there were so many amazing, you know, the living word, right? It's the divinely inspired word of God. We know that, the Bible, but so many great references to gratefulness and gratitude. Thessalonians 5, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. Colossians 1:12, give joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people. So many. I mean, the Psalms. Now, you know what? That's funny, too. Like, I had a friend, for whatever reason, Mike, I and maybe it was because I just got... I said, I'll get enough of that at Mass. But I never, in the last 4 or 5 months, I'm called. I feel God calling my heart to dig into the Psalms more. Because I responsorial psalm. I always felt like I'll get enough of that at Mass. But so many great nuggets in the Psalms. You know, it's just so many. And really, I mean, when I was, you know, scouring, you know, some references for, I mean, the Psalms are really one big grateful, mantra, you know. It was just, you know, so many amazing references to the Psalms in the Bible. I would give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount all your wonderful deeds. Psalm 9, verse 1. So many nuggets in there, you know. It's amazing. And then
it's part of the examine too, Joe. Right?
Amen. Like, amen.
Right. You know. Yeah. You start with that. Like, thank you. I mean, it is a recurring theme. This idea of gratitude. You know, Ignatius picked up on it, and you know, Joe, getting back to Emmaus, that really powerful, you know, reading from this past weekend. But here, I think there's a lot there to unpack, but they were with Christ, but missed it up until, you know, the breaking of the bread, right? They missed it.
Yeah.
And I think there's so much there for us to reflect upon, but this idea of, you know, every interaction can be an encounter with the divine.
Amen.
Right? Are you in a time and a space where you can be present and be receptive and be open to receiving? Because I think sometimes we just get so consumed that we miss all the good stuff.
Amen. And as you're saying, that's so true, brother. And as you're saying that, I'm thinking, you know, in the day and age where, you know, you have the transubstantiation, you know, is it a representation? Is it, you know, is it symbolism? You know, no, we believe that it is the body and blood of Christ. And
yeah,
to your point, as you were saying that, I'm like, you know, only recognizable in his highest form when he breaks the bread. You know, it's like when we break the bread every Sunday, you know, that is God present always worldwide at every single mass.
I want to give you
one more quote here, Mike, from Romans 21. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. And their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. And it's just such a powerful image for me because, you know, they knew God, you know, they certainly didn't appreciate him for the life-giving God that he was and the infinitely good God. So they didn't glorify him and give him thanks. And their hearts were just dark, you know?
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. That is amazing. Joe, can I share one other piece?
Absolutely.
Here I want to do this very quickly. So the last third of our trip, we went and stayed at this monastery. And they're called the Concepcionistas. And it's a Mexican order of contemplative nuns. There's about 10 of them that live in the house.
Mm.
And all they do is
And you
pray.
Actually stayed there?
We stayed there.
Oh, man.
We stayed
That's awesome.
There. It was unbelievable. And Joe, the second of night last night, and we were doing adoration every night, as I told you, but they came, Joe, and over the course of an hour and a half, while our priest was on his knees singing, he has a beautiful voice, and he's singing, Come Jesus, Come Holy Spirit, one by one, the nuns prayed over us, okay? And Joe, I'd never seen this before, but I'd never seen this in my life, but two of our members actually were so overcome, Joe, by the Holy Spirit that they literally entered into a different level of consciousness. And they, they essentially looked like they passed out, but they were so peaceful and laying in the arms of these nuns as they prayed over them.
Wow. That had to be unbelievable for you to witness that.
Yeah.
Like
it was unbelievable.
30 seconds. I know. And again, I was remiss because I had this jotted down. In 30 seconds, give me your. I know it's unfair. Give me when you went on that silent retreat. What was your greatest takeaway from that?
The greatest thing that I took away from that, Joe, was it. We need the silence because it's in the silence, right? It's Cardinal Sarah. He wrote this beautiful book about this. And Mother Teresa spoke about it. It's in the silence where we encounter God, because it's right. The evil one is the noisemaker. That's the world.
Mm.
And we have to force ourselves to be silent, to be present, because when we do so, he reveals himself to us. He communicates with us in ways that otherwise we might miss something. And so I found my answers, Joe, in silence.
Yeah. Wow, that's powerful. All right, brother, we're out of time. I love you, man. Folks, have a great week.
Too,
Colonel, as always, thank you. God bless.